sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance and refused to find either safe places for people to sleep or to decriminalize where people now sleep or some places where people now sleep. Instead, they simply lowered the fine and made some other cosmetic changes. What you're hearing now, and what you will be hearing in a moment, that is the public input on this issue right before the final votes. And the public is very inspiring, and I want you to take heart. And even though the city council craps out on this issue regularly, the public has not forgotten, or at least at this point they spoke out strongly, and hopefully these same people haven't abandoned all their views. A lot of them came from influential organizations, and I'm now going to play them. First voice you'll hear will be that of Catherine Byers, former mayor, former city council member, probably another one of those revolving city council members will be coming back in 2002. Don't vote for her.
And so I'll just try to suggest that you focus on version number two as what we are putting forth on the table as the final reading. We have several, of course, we can see again tonight, many people who want to speak to us on this. I would like to recognize that we have, I'm going to ask people to respond to this. I have an indication that three organizations would like to speak to us as an organization. Let me just read them first. The Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, Robert Norris. Peace and Freedom Party, Michael Smith. The Green Party, David Silva. And are there other organizations?
Yes, Lawyers Against the Sleeping Ban.
Lawyers Against the Sleeping Ban.
Well, Linda has her hand up.
And Women's Economic Agenda Project.
Dirty Action Board.
Okay. What is it?
What you hear now are the different organizations asking for time. At a public hearing, organizations usually get 5 minutes and individuals get 3 minutes when an ordinance change is contemplated. At this meeting, however, Byers cut back time.
We're going to talk about that. An hour and a half, and it looks like there are about 20 to 30 speakers, and we wouldn't be able to conclude this. I just feel compelled to limit. I want everyone to get to speak. It is the final reading. It is a public hearing, and I want to hear from everyone. But I feel compelled to limit the organizations now based on the number that have just been coming before us to 3 minutes and individuals to two. This is not ideal. I certainly am one that doesn't like this, but we just cannot go on till 2:30 again in the morning. I think this will give everyone a chance to speak. So let's get started.
Now, what has to be said here is, though Byers sounds reasonable in saying that, you know, there were the previous hearing on this a month before had gone on till 2 in the morning and involved a lot of speaking. But the reason that this kind of long discussion was justified from the public was because the city council, under Byers' direction, had established a subcommittee or task force called the Task Force to Examine the Camping Ordinance, which held over 50 to 100 hours of meetings, at which they essentially took no leadership action at all, and then ended up pursuing the prefabricated agenda of Catherine Byers, which was to make no change in the sleeping ban, without even discussing, really, the issue of changing the sleeping ban. And Crone and Sugar sort of reluctantly went along with this. They didn't want to challenge Byers. They were new council members. And unfortunately, that attitude persevered and continued into the present day, and they've kind of gotten even more conservative. But the fact that so much time was spent by the task force to examine the camping ordinance and so much public time was spent meant that the public should have had a chance to at least engage in the usual amount of debate, even if the council had to stay up late to hear it. There are some who say, well, it's futile if the council isn't going to vote for anything meaningful. Yeah, but you see, one thinks that the council's mind might be changed at these meetings by meaningful stats, by the kind of research that they did, by people expressing themselves. And frankly, as an activist, I feel that this is a chance for people to get together and do things beyond what the council is doing. I'm talking about direct action, possibly civil disobedience, some kind of mobilized, unified action where people are, you know, whether it's a tent city or a sleep out or taking over a section of the street peacefully, in order to, in essence, say, look, if you're not going to allow going to a city park and setting up a campground, taking over a building that's not being used so that homeless people don't suffer exposure and the kinds of disadvantages and depredations that happen out there. Anyway, let's hear some of this discussion.
And just come up. People do not have to line up. They are going to get heard. If you want to stand up and line up, that's fine. But if you want to sit down, you can just sit until just let a couple come at a time. But it's okay with me either way. But you're all going to get heard, so come forward. And just let us just know if you are an organization, and if not, it'll be 2 minutes.
No, I'm a disorganization. I was wondering if anybody has
need
a back.
You to
anybody have
I need you to time. Okay.
Good.
2 minutes.
Ready? Could I just make... want to go? Go ahead. Anybody else? You ready?
Wait a second. Your time's not running yet. Relax.
There you go.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
I'm going to wait till he's ready.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we just had a moment of...
Do you have a backyard? Maybe I could sleep over tonight, maybe?
Yeah.
I just want to say that...
Could I just go, say one thing before we start?
Go ahead.
Sorry, 1 minute.
This is a plot, a conspiracy.
I was under the impression that we had three minutes for individuals and 5 minutes for groups.
That was my...
This is actually Christopher Crone, and one of those rare occasions when he actually talks up for a public discussion, and he has so rarely done this since that it quite is quite remarkable. Also, the first speaker you're going to hear is a sort of a jokester, so he's perhaps all we can do is laugh at this point, considering that the council abandoned all the commitments of the voters in 1998, which they've made about making some meaningful changes, and just went belly up for this buyer's sellout.
Until we went to over 11 groups, and that was just going to take too long. So based on the number of groups, I first only had 3, but it's gone up to 9. So I'm suggesting now that we go to 3 and 2, based on the number.
There's no way we could go to, say, 4 and 3 and still do it? 4 for groups, 3 for individuals?
Of course we can go to 4 or 3. I was proposing that we go to 3 to 2 in order to hear from everyone tonight and get done.
I move we support the mayor's suggestion.
Yes. Support the mayor's suggestion.
To pass this motion.
Second.
And that quick motion is by Michael Rotkin, the parliamentary master, again, who's coming back, the man who was castigating me and spreading a lot of mythology about the homeless yesterday at the KSCO forum that they had, where I should say the trashing session they had in the morning. And what you see happening is buyers leading the reactionary members of council, Hernandez, Matthews, and Rotkin, to a process resolution. You don't get a debate on it, and that's Rotkin's point. So he's going to quickly cut back discussion to 3 minutes and 2 minutes, as buyers has proposed. Again, the discussion continues. We're listening to the March 1999 council meeting, where the current sleeping ban camping ordinance had its last real public appearance. There was a minor one in January of this year, but so far we're waiting for the outcome of that.
I have put forward that we do 3 for the organizations and 2 for individuals. I believe
and I move that
there is support for that, and I feel compelled to do that based on our agenda and the amount of hearings we've had. We'll take a vote on it. Would someone make a motion?
I move that we endorse the mayor's suggestion.
Does everyone understand what we're doing? Okay. Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No. 5 to 2. Let us move forward, and we'll hear from the first individual. I apologize. It is very confusing. Thank you.
I'm having a blast. I just want to talk about the importance. I went down to UCSB on a pilgrimage. I started the Church of Comedy. I'm a comic priest. I've been doing it for 12 years. No one takes me seriously. But otherwise... I went down to UCSB. I heard this lecturer talking about the Romans, how they like started to emphasize the needs of the city or the needs of the individual. That's horrible. Let's not make the mistake of the Romans. You know, look what happened to them. And let's focus on the needs of the individual. We westward expansion. It's we came to California, nowhere to go. Went up in space. Hawaii. We're destroying it. Let's go within. Let's expand within and. Keywords, love, compassion, tolerance, submission, surrender. We have unalienable rights. One of it is to choose where we want to sleep. We should be able to sleep outside or live a life of a vagabond or a avatar. Jesus Christ was one of them. And, different lifestyles. We have to be tolerant of different lifestyles. One thing I want to say about authority, I learned that at UCSB psychology department, authority coerces you to act against your moral beliefs and against your code of ethics. And people kill because they're told to kill. Don't make that mistake of choosing something because you know what you think is a higher authority is coercing you to do that. Vote with conscience and sleep in peace. Everyone should be able to sleep in peace. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Brown young virgin, mother and child, sleep in heavenly peace. Now, you're going to go home tonight and sleep in peace, you know. You take it for granted, right? You know, whatever your lifestyle, you got it made, right? Some people don't have it made, and they're confused, and they're cold, and they're frustrated, and they want to sleep in peace. They want to, you know, they want to find a place.
Your time is up.
Okay.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, council people. My name is Don Gottesman. I'm a resident of the city of Santa Cruz, and I'm speaking to you as vice chairman of the Community Action Board of Santa Cruz County. It is the mission of the CAB to advocate for the low-income people in our community. CAB urges the council to suspend the sleeping sections of the camping ban when shelters are full, and all shelters in Santa Cruz are full and have waiting lists except the Armory Shelter Program, which runs from November through March. The homeless mission statement of the city of Santa Cruz recognizes the gap between the need for appropriate shelter and services available for homeless people and states that it should be a priority of the city of Santa Cruz to address this need. The fourth appellate district court has determined that, quote, sleep is a physiological need, not an option for humans, unquote, and that when ticketed for sleeping, a person is entitled to raise a necessity defense when appropriate shelter is unavailable. The Board of Directors of the Community Action Board of Santa Cruz County Incorporated voted unanimously on March 17th to recommend that in any municipality, county, or city where there are more shelterless people than there are appropriate, safe shelter beds, the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance should be suspended. Furthermore, parking and sleeping in a motor vehicle should be permitted in residential, off-street, driveways, and business institution parking spaces with the consent of the owner and the occupant for 3 weeks out of each month. We urge that you take this recommendation into consideration as part of your deliberations. I have a copy of our resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for submitting that in writing. We appreciate it. Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Bill Beebe, and what I want to talk about tonight is something called the magnet theory. And this theory simply stated is that the more that we do for citizens of Santa Cruz, the more we do for the homeless people, the more homeless people we will attract. Or perhaps even simpler, the less we do, the better off we are, as long as we do something. I believe that this basic premise of fear is shared by some members of this council. And through my dialogue with a lot of community members, I believe this magnet theory is pervasive throughout the community. What I've come here tonight to say is that the city needs to do more to alleviate homelessness. And the number one thing we can do is to examine this callous and self-defeating premise, the so-called magnet theory. The best analogy that I can be able to come up with is a person diving into a pool, and if he or she is not sure that they really want to dive, the person diving will surely fail and belly flop. I had a talk with a church leader in town about the idea of getting churches to adopt and sponsor homeless people in Santa Cruz. And the first thing that he said to me is that he wanted the leaders and the community to talk more about the root causes of homelessness and take more action. I believe that church leaders and others in Santa Cruz are looking for the council for strong leadership on the issues of homelessness. There's so much that we could do to alleviate homelessness in Santa Cruz, and I do want to acknowledge that so many people are working so hard on this issue. We could acknowledge and work on the root causes of homelessness by creating a living wage in Santa Cruz so less people fall below the poverty line. We could commit to the creation of more affordable housing. We could acknowledge that women and children are the fastest growing category of homeless people in Santa Cruz and not those who are drawn to Santa Cruz because of a free ride and a giant magnet. We could join our efforts with other communities in Northern California and work on this issue together because it is a regional situation, and the further we outreach to other communities, the better we have chances of success. There's a lot as a community that we could do to alleviate homelessness, but unless we acknowledge and combat the basic fears that creates this atmosphere that allows homelessness to exist. And unless we acknowledge the callousness and self-defeating nature of this magnet theory, anything this council does to alleviate the pain of homelessness is bound to come up painfully short. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
I'm Ray Grenike, Glock Grenike, in Live Oak. I want to address three areas, policy, or just mention three areas. As to policy, most of you folks know that I've where I stand on this issue, so I won't belabor that. Second, law. And third, human rights. As to law, I immediately want to assure you folks that I'm a disbarred lawyer, so you don't have to scatter into executive session. And I'll only make a generalized philosophical comment about the law. Councilmember Matthews made the correct statement in last December when this issue was brought up, that even human rights, constitutional rights, are subject to time, place, and manner regulation. I would like to comment on that statement, that time, place, and manner regulation is appropriate to implement a right. It is always inappropriate to defeat a right. So whatever formulation the Camping Ordinance takes, keep in mind the implementation of the right to sleep, the implementation of the right to be able to have warmth around through, not to defeat it. If you defeat it, that is not a time, place, and manner regulation of the right. It is a violation of the right. Thirdly, as to human rights, you will never find in the Constitution, as it is presently written, that there is a right to sleep, or to breathe, or to do any number of other things that any human being recognizes is there. As human beings, we must acknowledge this is a human right. Thank you.
I'm back. The Biotic Pie Brigade was unable to attend tonight.
Give your name, please, for the record.
No one knows it. Roxana Kistapache.
We do like to get it on the tape, so it's just a record of our meeting. Of course, I know your name.
Thanks. Biotic Pie Brigade was unable to attend this meeting tonight. However, they have been invited to this and all future meetings regarding the homeless.
You should note that Catherine Byers almost deliberately interrupted Roxana Kistapache, who, interestingly enough, spoke about a pieing which happened a year later. It happened not of a city council member, it happened of a proxy who stood in for a city council member because that member, elected the most pieable by a vote on the streets, refused to accept the honor. It was, of course, Mike Rotkin, and I had to stand in his place, and I got pied.
It has been said to me that I am ruining this town, that by trying to make things so easy for the homeless, that things are getting all screwed up already. It made me feel pretty darn powerful. If only I'd use my power for good, huh? Some of the council members have stated to me that they feel that a baby step forward on this issue is something. In this case, you can't have my admiration, because we need so much more than a baby step. Another council member wanted to know that what makes the homeless think that the city owes them the freedom to sleep or to live or whatever? Why do we owe them? I don't think the homeless think that. I think they want you to just leave them alone. They need somewhere in the cold sometimes to get out of the cold. It'd be real nice if you'd give them a brick walk out here outside City Hall. But they're not asking you for a whole lot. And they certainly aren't asking you to do much for them. They really just want you to stop doing things to them. Okay? The group that I'm speaking for, Friends of the Beach, gave me permission to give you a pretty personal message because they know that's the only way I can speak. And I want to say that the deliberate misunderstandings and misinterpretation of proposals that were presented all during these task forces Tonight, Mike deliberately misunderstood my message earlier about meetings being a waste of time. You can only study things so much. The studies have been done in every town up and down the coast. They're available to you. To task force and do potty brigades and all the things that you want to do, great. But you know what? Don't spin your wheels. People really need there to be a decision made on this. And anytime you don't want to act, I hear deliberate misunderstanding. I hear a person saying words that are clearly understandable, and then I hear someone up here turn the message around. And we're not stupid, you know? I mean, we know, I think the people that are watching know the exact intent of the people that are speaking. And if you want to continue playing the fool, play the fool. But what we know is that you don't want to do this. You really don't want to do it.
Your time is up.
Was that 3?
Yeah. No, yes, it was 3 minutes.
Thank you.
My name is Bernice Belton. At the risk of alienating Roxanne, whom I like very much, I'm willing to settle for baby steps. I'm willing to settle for some kind of a step. I know that many of us have been wrestling with this issue through another generation of homeless, almost. And I have a very simplistic approach to one aspect only of the homeless question. We talk a lot about the criminalization and the decriminalization of homelessness. I cannot understand why we think that reducing the fine is a step in the right direction. It has no meaning at all, so far as I can tell. First of all, the $54 that it's dropped to gets to be much more money, because if it adds up, a warrant is issued, either somebody goes to jail, and I'm not sure if the city has to reimburse the county for the people from the city who go to jail, or if the county springs for the whole amount of money, but that gets to be a lot of money, whichever way it goes. So the fine itself doesn't make sense to me. And when you add to that, the fact is that if somebody lets it go far enough, and they do have to do community service, when they get to the community options office, they have to pay a certain amount there for having been given a ticket. I mean, this just seems to me like the most insane kind of expensive contradiction, to be really pragmatic about it. I don't understand why there are any fines. If somebody who's homeless is doing something wrong, whether it's late at night or during the day, if it's an offense, he or she should be arrested for the offense, not for the sleeping. So I hope that you will revisit the whole issue of fines.
Your time is up.
I beg your pardon?
Your time is up, 2 minutes.
That's lucky, because I could really run on and on and get into other aspects of this.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Don Hubbard. I'm the chairman of the Harvey West Area Association. We have 130 businesses, 30 residences, over 4,000 employees that work in that Harvey West area park. First, I'd like to congratulate you for what we've done so far for the homeless. I was at the dedication for the Sage Smith thing Saturday, and it's a step in the right direction. I think all of us are responsible citizens, recognize the fact that we have an obligation to take care of those people who can't take care of themselves. Also, I'd like to say that my marching orders from my people are very clear. Being a chairman doesn't necessarily mean you get to speak your own mind, although I happen to speak, and we speak as one. My board says they don't think this is really about the right to sleep. What they think this is about is where you are going to exercise that right to sleep. Everybody should sleep. But I think what we in Harvey West are saying, please not in my front yard, and please not under my trees, and please don't make me as a fellow who works for an electronic company out there, when the ladies walk out of the door at night, I have to walk them to their car because they're afraid. There are people in Harvey West that are living in fear. Now, you cannot blame the homeless for all of this. The homeless are a subset of that problem. We don't have the appropriate law enforcement out there. What the plea that the Harvey West Association brings is, please don't change what you have. Let's enforce what you have and give the people out there back their streets and back their homes, so they can let their kids play in the street. But we have people out there that cannot and will not let their children play in the street. That's a pretty simple message, and just being a dumb engineer, that's about as simple as I can get it, folks. I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thanks. Next speaker.
Madam Mayor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a statement about interruptions and about people punctuating other people's remarks.
Let me punctuate. That's Councilmember Fitzmaurice's remark. This is one of the early indications of Fitzmaurice's repressive mode that he perfected as mayor and continues to exert as just a council member. He was the person who put all the consent agenda items 7 hours ahead at the last council meeting. Fitzmaurice, along with Byers, cited against all the liberal amendments that Sugar and Crone tried to put forward. I think that's almost without exception. He introduced the notorious 3 nights per month rule limit on parking in driveways that is now being extended through essentially the city attorney's interpretation and his placement of the language to include backyards, side yards, business parking lots, and religious parking lots. Wow. That last bite was a Lulu. Anyway, Fitzmaurice kind of shows early on the kind of concerns he had. His major concern throughout these hearings was making sure that individuals who were opposed to changes in the sleeping ban were able to speak without any kind of criticism or comment from the audience, because he felt that otherwise people were, as he put it, being excluded. And my perspective with that is that in a robust democratic situation, you're going to have people who disagree with you, and you're going to have to deal with that. He ended up, of course, having people evicted from council meetings that he was the mayor of for making a silent Nazi salute from the back, for holding up a sign inappropriately. Actually, they weren't excluded for that. They were castigated for that. Or for using forbidden words like Führer or flunky at the city council mic. And he also, of course, promulgated a whole new series of restrictions on people based on the failure of his executive secretary Anna Brooks's lawsuit on the Coffee Klatch 3 case, which are now, if you look in any city office, you see the Fitzmaurice decorum rules are everywhere. Continuing with this 1999 tape on the March discussions around the sleeping ban ordinance changes, which were minor changes which dismayed most of the audience.
I find the interruptions in the attempt to punctuate other people's remarks, intimidate them, or expose them to ridicule them, I think, to be contradictory and it's an attempt, in my view, and a serious attempt, to deny people the right and the comfort of coming before the council. And I believe that it obstructs the democratic process. I think this is an important matter, important legal matter, and it needs to be considered, I think, carefully. And I think people need to be made to feel welcome when they come before the council to speak.
Fitzmaurice is referring to a couple of jeers that were made when a speaker was talking about child molesters and assailants among the homeless, a kind of hostile characterization and stereotyping, I would say kind of hate speech against homeless people, which I think a person has a right to make, but they also have to take the responsibility that's going to provoke a certain reaction. It's ironic that Fitzmaurice is talking about the democratic process when, of course, there is no democratic process for homeless people. They can't even attend these meetings because they have no legal place to sleep at night. They have to be in early if they're going to get into one of the few treasured spots that are on the floors of churches or in the armory. you have to be in, you're usually not allowed to attend these hearings, although this might have been an exception, but generally that's the case, and there's been no change under Ken Cole in this matter either. No expansion of the right of the public to go to public meetings at night, for example. So there is no democratic process for homeless people. What's being discussed here is a restoration of democratic process for homeless people. Fitzmaurice is turning this argument on his head and talking about a democratic process for bigots to keep an undemocratic series of laws, the sleeping ban, in place. And he's going to shut everybody up who complains about it. And that is, in fact, what he did as mayor.
It disturbs me that some people indulge themselves. A lot of people I know in this room have plenty of things they'd like to say about every comment that's made, and they restrain themselves. And I appreciate that, but I just want to make it clear that I think that we're doing two important things here. One is considering an important amendment to an ordinance, and the other is trying to create an atmosphere in which the city can deliberate.
Actually, they were considering trivial amendments to an ordinance and avoiding real amendments, and they were also avoiding real deliberation. They essentially threw all future issues into a homeless issues task force whose recommendations they completely ignored. Fitzmaurice was one of the main people who ignored their recommendations.
Important matter, and it makes it extremely difficult when people punctuate other people's remarks. I understand the problem, and I also understand it's difficult to enforce, you know, regulations on behavior and all that kind of thing. That's why I just want the people in the community to understand that I really respect them for coming forward to speak, and I don't believe that they should be necessarily interrupted in any way when they do that.
I'll second that. Okay.
Thank you very much for your remarks, Councilmember Fitzmaurice. It helps when someone else tries to speak out on this issue, and I appreciate your support. Thank you. Go ahead.
And of course, this is content-based because Fitzmaurice is referring to the hostility to anti-homeless bigotry, which really is the anti-homeless bigotry of the city council at a basic level, because Catherine Byers was the one who was essentially vetoing any real change, the chair and the mayor. And the whole discussion was really kind of a dog and pony sideshow.
We have a caller in the midst of all this. Hey, caller.
Robert, get a job.
No, thank you.
not.
I'm working.
I hope you're giving not having a job a good name.
Tom, what have you been listening to our show?
Yes, I have.
You
and
better.
I listened to that thing yesterday. I think I alerted you way too late that it was going on.
You better turn down your radio a little bit there.
What? Oh, didn't I turn it off? I thought just a second. Is that working better?
That's good.
Okay. Yeah, good heavens. I should know. There's no better than that. One thing I think your behavior through all of these various tests is a model, but I'm going to stop saying that because I've said it a couple of times, and I guess that's enough. But your patience in dealing with the same talking heads over and over and over again, the same police figures and arms twisted and so on, amazes me. One thing that I never have heard mentioned is the grand jury. Has anybody ever made any effort to
That's a very good question, Tom, and actually I ran into a grand juror who came up to the table. I believe it was the table, or possibly it was at Baker's Square when we were doing our Huff meeting. He happened to catch wind of us, and he suggested we start filing grand jury complaints. And indeed, I think that's a good idea, and I think that I would like to propose that to those listening as a Huff project, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom project. If anybody is interested in pursuing this, I would be happy to work with them. If they would like to work on it, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. It's just we have so many things going, you know, and probably that might be the right project to do. We need people to do it.
Well, the thing is that the grand jury, at least in intention, is supposed to be set up as a watchdog to ride herd on abusive government official.
Gotcha.
And 1997, and I appealed to the grand jury because they never gave it back. By the way, they never did give it back.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of confidence in the grand jury, but I think that it's still an avenue worth pursuing if somebody wants to call in, 423-HUFF. Thanks for that suggestion, Tom.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, my name is Dennis Rehm. Let's see, well, here we are again, gathered in futility, nothing accomplished except a few useless band-aids that don't even address the real problem, which is sleep crime. Yep, criminalizing sleep. Many people, including myself, have asked you at previous city council meetings to look inside your heart in the spirit, and in a spirit of goodness and compassion for your fellow human beings, decriminalize the act of sleep and redrafting of this camping ordinance. But it seems you don't have any spiritual values or you're not paying any attention to them. Very sad indeed. It's actually quite pathetic what you'd offered up as changes to the current ordinance. Lowering fines to $54 would not do a damn thing for people who cannot afford any amount of fine. Regarding parking on private property for 3 days is also a joke as well. It would be necessary to have 10 residences a month lined up for every one of 200 or more people who are living out of their vehicles. Do the math. That's 2,000 residences being asked to participate. Talk about unrealistic. I gave you all a little more credit for intelligence in what you've shown by your actions, considering recent court decisions of Pottinger and Eichhorn that have been stuck in your face. But it seems you just don't get it, or for some reason you think that Santa Cruz is above these decisions. What's wrong with you people? I do give Councilman Sugar credit for his clear acknowledgement of the Eichhorn decision as an attempt to uphold the spirit of law by enforcing this decision of necessity here in Santa Cruz when no bed space is available. But I guess you wanted to do it the hard way, and once there's no bed space after the Army and the churches close on March 31st, just 1 week from now, every ticket issued thereafter must therefore be met with this defense. Okay, jam up the courts. The fact that everyone will be sleeping every night somewhere in Santa Cruz will not change. Can you not get this through your head? Why must you continue to persecute poor people? You're not going to make all homeless people go away because of an unjust law. You're not going to keep them from sleeping at night either. So what is the reason for continuing this charade? Income for the city or give the cops something to do at night?
Your time is
I'm going up. To... Okay, I'm almost finished. Well, I'm going to encourage everyone I can who finds out about a ticket to present the Eichhorn defense, and if necessary, just don't pay the fines. Let it go to a misdemeanor when it issues, because misdemeanor is no big deal. It's just a different word. People can't afford the fine anyway. It's just going to be business as usual for sleepers, cops, and the courts. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Dennis Rehm, a man who lives in his vehicle who went to court 14 times or so on one ticket. He used the famous, for me famous, probably to everybody else, unknown, Florey Jacobs Edwards defense, which is a defense that says if you get convicted of a municipal code infraction like the sleeping ban or the camping ban, that you don't have to either pay the ticket or do community service. And if they attempt to force you to do so, their only real recourse is to confiscate your property by a civil process. Some judges have found this is true, others have not, so it's really kind of been a toss-up. It means for a homeless person they can confiscate your toothbrush and your sleeping bag. And that's, I suppose that is a loss to a homeless person, but it obviously isn't worth them to pursue in legal terms. And in fact, it was successfully used by activists Linda Edwards, Robert Florey, and Dave Jacobs at different times, and Dennis Rehm used it as well, and actually was successful with it, although it had a sort of an ambivalent result in Judge Danner's court. Then-attorney Peter Leeming failed to follow through on the appeal, and we didn't get a final result. Dennis Rehm has been around town again recently. He did have a serious liver problem, I believe, and he's still struggling. His point that the city council was doing nothing really was one that I realized at the time we all knew, but we didn't know what the implications of it were, and we got carried along with their next idea, which was to set up the Homeless Issues Task Force. Actually, we didn't. It was some of us did. Some major activists were appointed to it, like Linda LeMaster was appointed. She became the chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force. Sherry Connable, for a while, was on the Homeless Issues Task Force. Other individuals, including Marilyn Weaver, a homeless woman, they spent a lot of time doing a lot of attempting to do good work that was completely ignored by the city council for the next year. Instead, of course, we should have been following Dennis Rehm's suggestion, which is flood the courts with sleeping band tickets, maybe even in tent city situations, and then make the appeals necessary, and also focus the pitiless glare of publicity on that, the spotlight of the media. And I think we would have had a good shot at getting the kind of result that happened in Miami, Florida, under the Pottinger decision, where the ruling was that the homeless won $1.5 million, much of which went to the attorneys, but some of which went to the homeless, and a ruling that the police cannot even approach homeless people unless they have a shelter space available. They can't give them tickets for urinating, defecating, etc., unless there are facilities available. In other words, the common sense stuff that we all know from age 5, but that is regularly ignored by our city council, city police, and city officials generally, as well as Don Hubbard and his group of, Harvey West bigots. That's how I see them. And that, Don I like as a personally, as an individual, but his viewpoint on this is just medieval, or at least, yeah, I think it's still medieval. He still sounds very much the same at city council meetings. It doesn't mean people can't be educated on this issue. Michael Schmidt, who I think speaks later in this tape or spoke at the previous council meeting in February of 1999, you're listening to the March 1999 council meeting on the camping ban ordinance changes, was himself very retrogressive, and he's come an amazing distance, but unfortunately he's the exception rather than the rule. But the point was that there were a lot of people ready to do something after the council betrayed the community on this issue, after Catherine Byers did her famous sellout on this issue. And we could have done something, we should have done something meaningful, such as really stack the courts, pack the courts, and push the civil rights issue to a point where it had to be addressed by making it visible to this community, to the courts, to other communities as well. We didn't do that. Instead, we waited around for other task forces to proceed and operated on a small basis, an individual basis. Perhaps March 15th, we can actually begin to get together with a real tent city and a real rally. Again, if you want to work on this project, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. You can also attend the Progressive Federation meeting tonight. That'll be happening at the Veterans Hall at 7 o'clock in room 22. That's a group that's kind of has on its agenda the sleeping ban and other issues ranging from rent control to the war and the repression happening at home. It's a sort of a broad series of issues, but it's worth looking into. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Robert Norse, and I have in the studio with me that computer whiz, Jeff the Fiddler, who may start fiddling around at any time. You can never tell. He gets wild and crazy on his fiddle. But he's also good on the Internet, and he's been buffing up the Huff website. He may have some tips for all you webmasters out there, all you Internet aficionados, who as to how to reach Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and get some of our fine writing and our great polemics. Jeff, any discussion on that? Any advice for the folks? You can always, of course. Well, you tell us what should be done.
Okay, we've made it very simple.
All you need to do, say that again.
We've made it very simple. All you need to do is send a blank email, or for that matter, an email with anything at all in it, to the following email address. Get your pens ready. Joinhuff at joinhuff@yahoo.com. That's joinhuff@yahoo.com. Joinhuff is all one word. You will then receive an automated Yahoo reply that will give you two things. Actually, several things. It will give you a reminder about our Wednesday morning meetings at 8:30 a.m. at Baker Square Restaurant. It will also give you an email address that you could contact us to rail at us or to commend us for our efforts. But we'll also give you the URL, that is the internet address, for our new baby step provisional website and our Yahoo group. And the Yahoo group is based on the old concept of a listserv, which means that you will receive updates on activities of interest to homeless activists, homeless people, and activists in general.
Wow. And all this for free.
Yes, it's free. And again, that's joinhuff yahoo.com. We'll send you an automated message telling you how to find our website. And certainly if there are web designers out there, certainly feel free to collaborate on building the website out.
Cool. Coming up shortly, I'm hoping an update from Becky Johnson on another item coming up on the City Council agenda. Actually, it's not coming up on the City Council agenda, but it will be coming up on the City Council a couple weeks down the road. But reports have already been issued on it. It's around the infamous Dolphin Lee project. That's the dark hole that is catching all the city's, 15 million, I'm not sure how many million for the next 5 years, the next 5 to 10 years. I think we got our caller calling in here, our expert Becky Johnson, who's been studying recent FYIs from the City Manager's Redevelopment Agency area on relocation and return guarantees.
Hey there.
Hi.
You are, in fact, Becky Johnson?
Speaking.
Indeed. Now, of course, when we last left the Dolphin and Lee soap opera, as I guess some good times writers might call it, here were, some 200 to 400 people that wrote the